Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the words that we consider on this 70th anniversary celebration of Trinity Lutheran School comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And here ends this text. Well, what a celebration today. For 70 years, Trinity Lutheran Church and School have teamed together in one united mission to bring the Word of God to children and, of course, to adults alike, that they may hear it and live it. Trinity Lutheran Church has shared God's Word in the community of Greeley, Colorado, and the surrounding area, and through support of missions throughout the world for 112 years after being established January 9th, 1904, here in Greeley. And Trinity Lutheran School was established on September 23rd, 1946, with 29 students at the beginning, and in 2004, we peaked with 110 students here at Trinity. But throughout this journey, this congregation has supported this mission and has been here to support the sharing of God's Word with children through Christian education. And to think, 70 years. And you know, it's downright miraculous as we have seen and continue to see God blessing us financially and otherwise, that we may continue to let children hear the Word of God. And so as we focus on Christian education, and especially with the school today, that's the theme I hold before us, is let children hear. And it's interesting, as we look at Timothy, in Paul's letter to Timothy, Timothy was blessed to hear as a child. Did you hear it in this reading when Paul writes to Timothy these words, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures? You see, Timothy was blessed as a child to have very significant women in his life that would bring him up in the faith, that would place in his hands the Word of God. And we hear more detail about these women in the first chapter of this letter, verse 5, where Paul writes, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And so Timothy was blessed to have a grandmother and a mother, godly women, who placed God's Word in Timothy's hands, who modeled the faith in their lives, who brought Timothy up in the faith to know God, to know God's Word. And God's Word is powerful as the Holy Spirit works through it. We know in Romans 10:17, God informs us that faith comes by hearing the Word of Christ. And so through the Word of God, through hearing the words of the Holy Bible, the inerrant Word of God, this is one of the means through which God changes hearts from unbelief to faith. Well, just a few moments ago, we sang that great hymn, Let Children Hear the Mighty Deeds. And in stanza 3 of this hymn, I want to repeat the words we just had sung a few moments ago. Our sons and daughters we shall tell, and they again to theirs, that generations yet unborn may teach them to their heirs. And so the emphasis in this great hymn is passing the word down from generation to generation. When children are very small, growing up in the family, to bring them to be baptized, to place in their hands the word of God. Oh, let the children hear. Timothy was blessed to have these great women in his life that passed God's word down to him. And that's an encouragement to all of us parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who are gathered here in worship today, especially in light of our current times. Do you realize that in some of the statistics that I was just looking at, less than 20% of people along the Front Range of Colorado are currently churched? Less than 20%. And most likely of that 80%, there may be those who say, yes, I believe, I just don't go to church. I don't belong to a local congregation. But I would imagine a very high percent of that 80% are not in the Word of God at home. And most likely their children are not hearing the Word of God at all. Having been in the ministry for 30 plus years, I have seen drastic changes. I have seen in our culture where years ago, Wednesday evenings were sacred. They were respected by our culture as a whole as a church night. And many Christian congregations would have midweek worship services, and many of their youth programs would meet on Wednesday evenings. We always have confirmation and youth group type activities. But then as the years went on, that night was no longer sacred. It used to be schools didn't schedule anything for Wednesday evenings. But now Wednesday is just like another day of the week. And then we come to Sundays. Sundays, for a much longer period of time, were held as sacred by our culture. In fact, there, years ago, the only stores that were open on Sunday were the grocery stores and drug stores, those necessity items. But today, Sunday, business-wise, almost is like any other day of the week. But then with activities with youth, it is really tragic that youth are so busy throughout the week that various sporting group clubs and those types of things, they can't find a time to plug in so that they can get kids to come. The last time that is available is Sunday. And so now Sundays have become like just another day of the week. And so what does this all mean? Is that for our youth, now every day of the week is filled with all kinds of activities, and kids are not in worship. Kids are not hearing the Word of God. Kids are not in Sunday school, and that is tragic. And what a shift over the last 30 years or so. And so it's not surprising when I strike up conversations with youth about the Bible that I find many know virtually nothing about what God teaches in His Word. And then in the face of this is what is being flaunted upon our youth and our culture. Things like there is no absolute truth. That is a very prevalent philosophy that is out there and being taught to our children, even in the public school systems. And so it comes down to this: if there's no absolute truth, then everything is really permissible. There's no distinction of right and wrong. And with that then comes little self-discipline or self-control. And so we shouldn't be surprised that our youth, for the most part, don't know how to cope with life, with the issues of life. And many turn to drugs and sex and alcohol and greed because they think those things are going to soothe their pain. And they may for a moment, but they create much greater problems and much more pain in the long run. And most tragic of all, these kids are not hearing of Jesus. They're living lives separate from Jesus Christ, and being separate from Christ, they are on that wide path that leads to hell. I want to bless all of you parents, grandparents, teachers, great-grandparents, all you adults here that are involved in sharing the good news of God's love with youth. I commend you for that and pray God's continued blessings upon you as you let children hear. These children, like Timothy, can then say, from childhood, we have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the Word of God. And the Lord continues to bless us with His Word. He has given us salvation through this Word, through faith in this Word that God's Word actually creates in our hearts. Faith comes from hearing. And when we bring our children, even little infants, to be baptized by God's promise, that water connected with His saving Word brings salvation to these little ones who are baptized. But then God continues to nurture them through His Holy Word. And that Word is life-sustaining. Did you hear it in this text? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so that's right in the face of the philosophies of the world today, isn't it? There's no absolute truth. Well, God says, yes, there is. The absolute truth is My Word, and God informs us that it is His Word. All Scripture is God-breathed, meaning it is inspired by God, it is protected by God, it is the inerrant Word of God, and it must be absolute truth if it is given for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training and equipping for every good work. Only absolute truth can do that. How blessed we are to know God's Word. Let the children hear God's Word. It is absolutely trustworthy. It is life-giving and life-sustaining. And it empowers our youth and us as adults, people of all ages, to cope with whatever we must face in life. In fact, Jesus opens His loving arms to us and says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so in the midst of our turmoil, the Lord is here with open arms. But how are we going to know that if we have not heard His precious Word? And so we think about everyday life, living, being sustained by the power of God's Word. And it makes me think, as an example, the great patriarch Daniel of the Old Testament. Remember Daniel, just a teenage youth, when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians come marching into the Promised Land, into the land of Judea. They totally annihilate the land. They destroy Jerusalem. They destroy the temple. And they take God's people into exile into Babylon. Well, Daniel was one of those who was taken in to exile. But it's important for us to realize that Daniel was part of the royal family in Judea. And so King Nebuchadnezzar demanded, informed his people, that he wanted some of these royalty youth to be brought into his service. And it emphasizes young men. And remember, again, Daniel, just a teenager at the time, and he and other youth were brought in to serve in the king's palace. Now imagine what kind of life. This is a very wealthy king who lived a very luxurious life, And here Daniel, a young teenager, is living in his palace and there to serve him. Wow. In a way, it would seem like, wow, what a blessing that I'm in this position as a young man in life. I mean, the possibilities are endless, right? Well, here's what Daniel has to say, because the king is going to feed these youth the food of the king's table. He's going to give them lots of wonderful food, the best of the land. Most people are not blessed to eat this way. However, the foods that the king was serving, some of them were unclean in accordance to God's ceremonial law. Now think about that. Daniel, a teenager, living in the luxury of this kingdom, in the king's palace, can have it all. And yet, here's how Daniel responds to that. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. In other words, Daniel had self-discipline, self-control. He knew God's word because he was blessed to grow up in a home where, as a youth, he saw faith modeled by those significant adults in his life, and the word of God was placed in his hands. In fact, that was God's command, wasn't it? When he gave the promised land to his people before they went in, Moses shared with them, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as they live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you." Now, Daniel grew up in this faith. Daniel knew the word of God, and through that word, Daniel's faith was protected and sustained, and he was equipped to face and cope with the issues of life. And now he's in a major one. The king is really demanding that he eat this food, and yet, to be faithful to God, he cannot eat the food. And Daniel respectfully refuses it. Now, what we see here is that Daniel knew God's word, and he trusted the authority of God's word, the trustworthiness of God's word, that yes, indeed, it is absolute truth. Imagine the temptations, imagine the peer pressure for Daniel, and yet God's word sustained him. Praise God for Daniel's family who were faithful and brought Daniel up in the word of God. And so comforting for us parents still here today. You know, our daughter Holly, she was in middle school at the time, and a new teenager moved into our neighborhood, a nice young lady, I thought, and there weren't many girls our daughter's age at that time in our neighborhood, and Holly would walk to school, and now she had a friend to walk to school with her. And so this went on for a couple of weeks, and one evening my wife and I came home, and Holly approached us and told us about the events that had transpired earlier this day. She had walked home with this new girl, and they were sitting out on our porch and visiting for a little bit, and this little girl pulled drugs out and offered them to our daughter. Now, the parents are not there to guide our daughter at that moment, but by the grace of God, she, being equipped with God's absolute truth, was empowered to cope with the situation. God was there with her. And we asked our daughter, "Well, what did you do?" And she said, I looked at her and I said, "We don't do drugs here, and you're going to have to leave now." And the girl left. And I just it's so comforting for parents to know God's presence and dwelling in their hearts of our children, and to know that they are equipped with this word. That's self-discipline. That's self-control. Imagine what that does for a culture when the majority of people are self-policed as God dwells within them. We wouldn't have many of the issues we deal with today if the population, the majority, was Christian. Not that us Christians do not sin. We sin every day. But there is that self-control and discipline. The greatest gift you can give to children and adults alike is the opportunity to hear the Word of God. Those who walk in faith on the foundation of God's truth are equipped to face anything that comes their way in life. And then when our lives come to a close upon this earth, our lives do not end, but we are received into glory and our lives continue there. The greatest gift that God has given to us, the security of everlasting life. Praise God for blessing Trinity Lutheran Church and school, and for blessing Trinity Lutheran Church to be able to create this ministry by God's grace, Trinity Lutheran School, in the community of Greeley, Colorado, and that we have been here for 70 years. Imagine all of the young youth and children that have heard the Word of God. Let the children hear. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, this day and forevermore. God bless you. Amen.